Our subject this morning, as we continue to look at aspects of the life of Solomon, our subject this morning is a visit from the Queen. A visit from the Queen. And our text then is that verse 1. 1 Kings 10 and verse 1. And when the Queen of Sheba heard of the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord, she came to prove him with hard questions. On a certain day, when the Lord Jesus was ministering to a vast assembly of people, he upbraided them for their unbelief. They would not believe that he was the promised Messiah, and that he was. Therefore, they rejected him. They rejected him because they wanted more evidence that he was indeed the Messiah, the one of whom the prophet spoke. In other words, they wanted a sign. We read about that interview over in Luke chapter 11. And there we read in the verse 29, and when the people were gathered thick together, he began to say, this is an evil generation. They seek a sign, and there shall no sign be given it, but the sign of Jonas the prophet. For as Jonas was a sign unto the Ninevites, so shall also the Son of Man be to this generation. And then the Lord goes on to say in verse 31, the Queen of the South, or the Queen of Sheba, shall rise up in the judgment with the men of this generation and condemn them. Why? For she came from the uttermost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And the Lord said, and behold, a greater than Solomon is here. In other words, the people, or rather, the Queen of Sheba, had traveled a great distance to meet with Solomon and to prove him with hard questions, because she had heard all about his wisdom. And she wanted to find out if everything that was said about him was actually true. And so here you have the Queen of Sheba, and the Lord said that she came from the uttermost parts of the earth. Really, the Lord used that to indicate that she came a great distance. And yet here we have individuals standing face to face with Christ, and they had only to take a step to embrace him as Savior and as Messiah, yet they wouldn't do it. They wanted a sign, and the Lord said, well, the sign is right in front of you, because a greater than Solomon is here. The Queen of Sheba traveled a great distance to meet with Solomon, and there before this congregation of people was one who was greater than Solomon, and they wouldn't take one step toward him. And the Lord said, on the day of judgment, on the day of judgment, the Queen of Sheba will rise up and she will condemn you, because you will be judged upon how you dealt with me, Christ. And the Queen of Sheba traveled a great distance to come to Solomon, and you wouldn't even take one step to come to me. She'll rise up in the judgment, and she will condemn you. The Lord was only a step away. Just as the Lord is only a step away from us today here in this church building. For anyone who does not know the Lord Jesus as Savior, gathered here this morning, for anyone who has never come to Christ and embrace Christ as Savior, listen. You don't have to travel a great distance like the Queen of Sheba to see Solomon. Christ is only a step away. That's how near he is to you. Only a step. Only a step to Jesus, then why not take it now? Come thy sin confessing. Come unto the Savior by. He's only a step away. Since Christ is so near to you, and if you refuse Christ and reject the Lord Jesus, the Queen of Sheba will rise up in the judgment and condemn you on that day. Remember what Paul said? It is appointed unto men once to die, after this the judgment. And all who know not Christ and all who die without Christ will appear in the judgment. And you will be challenged as to why you did not come and receive the Lord, even though he was only a step away, even though he was only a prayer away. Yet the Queen of Sheba traveled many miles to visit Solomon. But Christ, listen, Christ is greater than Solomon. And he's only a step away. Let us then look at what took place when the Queen of Sheba came to visit Solomon. We've noticed, first of all, the Queen seeking Solomon. And when the Queen of Sheba heard of the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord, she came to prove him with hard questions. And she came to Jerusalem. So there's the Queen of Sheba, and she came seeking Solomon. Or as we read in Luke 11, verse 31, she came from the uttermost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. Now, regarding her seeking Solomon, I want you to notice her response. Look carefully at the words of 1 Kings 10 and verse 1. And when the Queen of Sheba heard of the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord, she came. We can abbreviate that verse. When the Queen of Sheba heard of Solomon, she came. That was her response to hearing about Solomon. In other words, once she heard of Solomon and his fame, she did not delay. When she heard, she came. Unlike so many who have heard about the Lord Jesus Christ, they have heard how he came into the world to save sinners. They have heard how he came to seek and to save that which was lost. They have heard all about his sufferings and his dying on the cross of Calvary, the just for the unjust, to bring us to God. They have heard about his death, his burial, his resurrection, his ascension, and his promised coming again. Indeed, there is really not much more that they need to hear. There is not much more that they need to be told about the Lord Jesus Christ, and yet they still have not come to him and received him as Savior. Am I speaking to someone this morning who falls into that category? How many sermons have you heard? How many messages have you listened to? How many scripture readings have you been given? And yet you have not come to the one that you have heard so much about. Will the Queen of the South, will the Queen of Sheba rise up in the judgment and condemn you? She only heard once, and she came. And when she heard, she was prepared to travel a distance. You've heard about the Lord Jesus many, 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 many times. Why have you not come? That was her response. We notice also her reason. We are specifically told the reason for the visit of the Queen of Sheba to Solomon. There it is. She came to prove him with hard questions. She had heard about Solomon's wisdom, and she came wondering if he could answer her questions. Did he have enough wisdom to answer her hard questions? Whatever she had on her mind, whatever was upon her heart, she brought it, brought them to Solomon. Now, we're not told what her hard questions were, but that is in keeping with the word hard. Hard questions. The word hard means hidden. And so the Queen of Sheba came to Solomon to prove him with her hard questions or her hidden questions. And maybe she had questions or she had problems that she would not reveal to anyone else but to Solomon alone. Maybe she felt that nobody else could really answer her questions, that nobody else could really solve her problems but Solomon alone. And so she brought them to Solomon. And you know, there are many and they've hard questions today. They have problems that are hidden, and they're hidden in their heart, and they would not share them with anyone. Well, I can tell you, if you have any such questions, you can share them with Christ. You can bring your hard questions. You can bring your hidden questions. You can bring your problems. You can bring your burdens to Christ. Because Christ not only has the answer, Christ is the answer. But then, maybe on the other hand, perhaps your questions are more straightforward. They're not really hard at all. Such as, how may I be saved? That's not a hard question. How can I be saved from my sin? Christ is the answer. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. There's the answer. Or perhaps your question is, how can I have peace with God? Maybe because of things that have happened in your life, every now and again those things come up against you and you're troubled. How can I find peace? Well, Christ is the answer. We have peace through the blood of his cross. There's the answer to your straightforward question. Or perhaps your question is, how may I be sure of heaven? Well, John 14 verse 6 said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. There's the answer. So you see, the Lord Jesus has the answer to all your questions. He has the answer to all your problems. The Lord Jesus can lift away all your burdens of sin. That's what he's able to do. And again, he's only a step away. He is only a prayer away. You don't need to go on some long pilgrimage. Christ is here in this house this Lord's Day morning. He's right here. And whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And he's right here. Whosoever. That means anyone. That means you. Call upon the name of the Lord. You shall be saved. As well as her response and her reason, we also have her resolve. If you look again at the opening two verses of 1 Kings 10, and when the queen of Sheba heard of the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord, she came to prove him with hard questions. Verse 2, she came to Jerusalem with a very great train, with camels that bear spices and very much gold and precious stones. And when she was come to Solomon, she communed with him of all that was in her heart. Again, note carefully the words. Verse 2 says, and she came to Jerusalem. Then it says, and she came to Solomon. And when she was come to Solomon. In other words, here's the queen of Sheba, and she's traveled a great distance to meet with Solomon, to prove him with hard questions. She arrives at Jerusalem. But she wasn't distracted by anything that was in Jerusalem. She went through the city and came straight to Solomon. That's the point we're making. She came to Jerusalem, yes. But she didn't tarry there. She didn't view the sights of the city, as it were. But rather, we're told, and when she was come to Solomon. There you have her resolve. She had come so far, and she was resolved to meet with Solomon. And nothing was going to distract her. Nothing was going to deter her. Nothing was going to stop her coming to Solomon. You know, sometimes when men and women come under conviction of sin, Maybe they're sitting in a gospel meeting. And the Spirit of God speaks to them and strives with them. And they know they need to be saved and they want to be saved. But then they think, what about my friends? What will they say? And they're distracted. How could they possibly go into their place of employment the next morning and tell their friends, their drinking mates, their gambling mates, I'm a Christian now? And that sort of puts them off. They become distracted and they're deterred from receiving Christ because they're afraid of what others might say. Sometimes they think, well, I would like to be saved, and I've heard this before. I would like to be saved, but I couldn't keep it. I've heard that said often. Oh, I would like to become a Christian. I would like to be saved, but I couldn't keep it. Well, I have the answer for that one. Who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, 1 Peter 1 and 5. Is that not good enough? No, you see, a person, whenever they get saved, it's not up to them to keep their salvation. We are kept by the power of God, and there is no greater power in heaven or earth or hell than the power of God. So whenever a soul is saved, that soul is saved for all eternity, forever. No man, the Lord said, can pluck us out of his hand. So we're kept by the power of God. So don't let something like that put you off. Don't let the devil come and whisper in your ear, oh, what about your friends? What will they say? Don't let the devil come and say, oh, well, you're sure you couldn't keep it. The Lord will do the keeping. Whatever you think might be a hindrance to you receiving the Lord Jesus as your Savior, let me say this, put it to the side. Because it's not worth it. You might say, well, I do this and do the other thing, I'll never be able to give it up. Oh, yes. You'll not be able to give it up. But the Lord will give it up for you. Because he breaks the power of canceled sin. He sets the prisoner free. His blood can make the foulest clean. His blood avails for me. The Lord is able to break the chains that bind you to the sins of this world that you may delve into. And you say, I can never give it up. No, you may not. But the Lord does the work. Because there's power in the blood. Power in the blood. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. So follow the example of the Queen of Sheba. She was determined. She resolved to go to Solomon. Will you today resolve to come to Christ? Will you resolve even now, before the meeting's over? Will you resolve now and say, I'm going to see the preacher, I need to get right with God? No matter what others think, no matter what others may say, I resolve today to get right with God. We have her response, her reason, her resolve. But look at her reception. Look at her reception. In verse 2, and she came to Jerusalem with a very great train, with camels that bear spices and very much gold and precious stones. And when she was come to Solomon, she communed with him of all that was in her heart. So she was well received. She was well received. She was able to come and sit down and commune with him of all that was on her heart. She was warmly received. She could not have been any more willingly and warmly received by Solomon. He received her without any hesitation. Look at the words again. And when she was come to Solomon, she communed with all that was in her heart. There's no indication of a waiting time. There's no indication of her having to wait outside for a while before she could have an audience with the king. No, we are told, and when she was come to Solomon, she communed with him. She was received immediately. She was welcomed immediately. And then, a greater than Solomon is here. And if King Solomon received the Queen of Sheba in this way, immediately and willingly and warmly, how much more will the Lord Jesus receive you warmly and willingly? And he'll welcome you today. Indeed, Christ today invites you to come. That's one better than Solomon. Solomon didn't invite the queen to come, but she came anyway. And the Lord Jesus invites you to come to him. Listen. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. That's what the Lord Jesus said. He said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come unto me and I'll answer all your questions. Come unto me and I'll solve your problems. Come unto me and I will carry your burden. Come unto me and I will remove your sin. Come unto me and I will receive you. And then he said this. He said, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. Listen, and him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Now you couldn't beat that. Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. And I will tell you more than that. There has never been in the history of this world, there has never been anyone who has come to Christ and Christ has turned them away. Never. Never has he turned anyone away. Never turned away a drunkard. Never turned away a drug addict. Never turned away a blasphemer. never turned away a harlot, never turned away a murderer. Never turned away a self-righteous person. Christ will and has received all comers. All comers. All you have to do today is come to Christ, repent, and Christ will receive you. As Solomon received the Queen of Sheba, Christ will receive you and receive you today. The day that the Queen of Sheba came to Solomon was the day that the king received her. As well as the queen seeking Solomon, we notice also the queen was smitten by Solomon. After she communed with him of all that was in her heart, the queen was completely overwhelmed by Solomon. If you like, she was smitten by him. It's as if he had taken her breath away. For verse 3 says, "And Solomon told her all her questions. There was not anything hid from the king which he told her not." And she couldn't believe it. She couldn't take it in. Look at verse 7. "Howbeit, I believe not the words until I came, and mine eyes had seen it, and behold, the half was not told me. Thy wisdom and prosperity exceedeth the fame which I heard." She was completely smitten by Solomon. Here we have, first of all, her wonder. She was filled with wonder. The Queen of Sheba was filled with wonder after what she had heard from Solomon and what she saw. Verses 4 and 5. "And when the Queen of Sheba had seen all Solomon's wisdom, and the house that he had built, and the meat on his table, and the sitting of his servants, and the attendance of his ministers, and their apparel, and her cupbearers, his cupbearers, and his ascent by which he went up into the house of the Lord, there was no more spirit in her." He just took her breath away. It was as if she had nothing more to say. Completely overwhelmed by what she heard and what she saw. She was filled with wonder. And everything she had been told about Solomon, she discovered was all true. Verse 6, "And she said to the king, it was a true report that I heard in mine own land of thy acts and of thy wisdom." It's all true. If it was true about what the Queen of Sheba heard about Solomon, I'll tell you something now. If you receive the Lord Jesus as your Savior, you know what you'll say? You'll say, "Preacher, everything you told me about Christ is true." You'll discover the truth of the words that I have told you today and in past days and past weeks and past months and past years. You'll say it's all true. So when I have told you that Christ is a loving and a caring, tender-hearted, faithful friend, You'll say, preacher, that's true. You'll say, that's what I have found as well. And if I were to tell you that anyone coming and receiving Christ will rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, and you receive Christ, you'll say, that's true. I've never been happier. I've never had as much joy in my life than I have now since I received the Lord as my Savior. That's what he gives, joy unspeakable and full of glory. And you will have a peace that you have never experienced before. For he gives the peace of God, which passeth all understanding. Peace in your heart, peace of mind, peace of conscience, and peace with God. You see, I'm not promoting today some dead, drab, dry religion. It's not religion that saves. Religion hasn't done anything for anyone. It's not religion. It's redemption. It's knowing Christ as Savior. And so we're not promoting a religion, we're promoting the Redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ. And he can do more for you than all the religions in the world. And you come and receive the Lord Jesus as your Savior today, you also will be filled with wonder. With wonder. As well as her wonder, we notice also her word. After speaking about Solomon's wisdom, his wealth and his worship, she then said in verse 7, "Howbeit, I believe not the words until I came." In other words, she says, I heard all these stories about Solomon, and I thought to myself, they couldn't possibly be true. I believe not the words until I came, and mine eyes had seen it, and behold, the half was not told me. That's something. In other words, the Queen of Sheba is saying, all the things that I have been told, all the things that was told me about Solomon, I've discovered they didn't tell me the half of it. They didn't tell me the half of the story. Because I have come and spent time with Solomon. He has answered all my questions. Not one did he leave out. He's answered all my questions. And what I have found in Solomon, I've discovered really, the half wasn't told me. The half was not told me. And if that was said about Solomon, can you imagine what will be said about the one who's greater than Solomon? For if you come to the Lord Jesus and receive him as Savior, you will discover all that I have ever said about the Lord Jesus. You'll come and you'll say, preacher, you didn't tell me the half of it. I have found more in the Lord Jesus Christ than you have ever told me. And I will confess to that. If I were to preach, or you were to sit under my preaching and listen to 1,000 sermons about Christ, and you were to receive him, you would still say the same thing. You would still say, "Preacher, you didn't tell me the half of it." It's only when you come that you find out how good, how great, how gracious the Savior is. But you'll never know until you come. It's like those disciples of John the Baptist. When John said, "Behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world." Two of those disciples said to the Lord Jesus, "Master, dwellest thou?" The Lord said, "Come and see." In other words, the Lord didn't tell them where he dwelt. He said, "Come and see." I would say that to you today. You want to know about Christ and how good he is and great he is and gracious he is? Come and see. Come for yourself. Don't take my word for it. But come to the Savior now and receive him as your Savior. And after a while, you will say, "The half was not told me. For I have found more in the Lord Jesus than any preacher ever told me." Her wonder, her word, and her wealth. Notice, before the Queen of Sheba returned home, she made a presentation to Solomon. Look at verse 10. "And she gave the king 120 talents of gold, and of spices very great store, and precious stones. There came no more such abundance of spices as these which the Queen of Sheba gave to King Solomon." Now, this wasn't any kind of payment for his wisdom. This was a gift that she gave. Now, when you come to the Lord, there is one gift that you can give to the Lord. No, it's not silver and it's not gold. Nothing like that at all. You can give today to the Lord something that is more valuable than all the silver and all the gold in the world. You say, "Well, what is that?" It is your soul. When a sinner receives Christ, that's what they give to Christ. They give to Christ their soul. Now, how precious is your soul? Well, listen to this. "For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" And there the Lord Jesus himself is saying, the soul of a man is of more value than all the silver and the gold in the world, or 10,000 worlds. And the Queen of Sheba gave this gift to Solomon before she went home. And I would say, before you go home today, give this gift to Christ. Give him your soul. Ask him to save your soul. Your soul. In the last place, we notice how the queen was satisfied with Solomon. She came seeking Solomon. When she found him, she was smitten by Solomon. And then we find that the Queen of Sheba was satisfied with Solomon. She certainly wasn't disappointed. Following that visit with Solomon, and there's never been a person, man or woman, boy or girl, who's ever come to the Lord Jesus Christ and they've been disappointed. I've never met anyone. I've never read about anyone. I've never been told about anyone who's received the Lord as Savior and after a while have said, "Oh, I'm disappointed." Never. But what I have been told, I've been told by individuals, you know, "I wish I had got saved sooner. I wish I had come to the Lord sooner in my life." I've heard that often. And the Queen of Sheba was satisfied with Solomon. He exceeded her expectations. And I can say this, now none but Christ can satisfy. None other name for me, there's love and life and everlasting joy, Lord Jesus, found in thee. And Christ is greater than Solomon. Regarding this satisfied queen, we notice her thankfulness. The queen was most thankful that she had made the journey to meet Solomon, because we read in verse 9, "Blessed be the Lord thy God, which delighted in thee to set thee on the throne of Israel, because the Lord loved Israel forever. Therefore made he thee king to do judgment and justice." Bless the Lord, she said. She blessed the Lord for Solomon. She rejoiced. You know what the word blessed means? It means happy. She was made happy because she met Solomon. Reminds me of the man at the gate beautiful in Acts chapter 3. And there he was and looked to Simon, Peter and John. And Peter said to the man at the gate beautiful, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand, lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. He had not only been healed of his physical ailment, but he had met the Savior. And you notice what he did when he met the Savior? He went into the house of God. He went into the Lord's house with John and Peter. Sure sign that a change had taken place in his life. The Queen of Sheba was thankful. "Blessed be the Lord thy God." And all who know Christ, we're thankful. We're thankful for all the Lord is and for all the Lord has done for us. Thankful that he saved us from our sin. Thankful that we'll never be in hell. Thankful that one day we'll be in heaven. Thankful that one day we'll see the King in all his majesty and glory and beauty. We're so thankful. And you will be too, if you receive Christ as your Saviour. Her thankfulness and her testimony. Remember the Queen as she became to Solomon to prove him with hard questions. Now how did she leave this man, Solomon? Well, look at verse 13. And King Solomon gave unto the Queen of Sheba all her desire, whatsoever she asked. But that's not all. And the King Solomon gave unto the Queen of Sheba all her desire, whatsoever she asked. Then you have that little word beside. So Solomon gave her more than what she had asked. She had come to him with all the hard questions. And he was able to give the queen all the desire of her heart besides that which Solomon gave her of his royal bounty. So she turned and went to her own country, she and her servants. Solomon gave to the Queen of Sheba something that she didn't arrive with. She gave him a gift. He gave her all the desire of her heart beside that which Solomon gave her of his royal bounty. In other words, she went home with something that she didn't come with. And you can go home today from God's house here on the Toronto Road. You can go home from this church today with something you didn't come with. You can go home with God's gift of salvation. You can go home with Christ in your heart. You can go home with happiness, joy, peace of mind, peace of heart. You can go home with God's salvation, knowing that whatever happens, should death take you, you'll be in heaven. You can be sure of that. So what about it? Will you come today and receive Christ as your Saviour? Or will the Queen of Sheba rise up in the judgment and speak against you? Because she came many, many miles to meet Solomon. And you wouldn't even take one step to meet Christ. Come to the Saviour. Make no delay. Here in his word, he has shown you the way. Let's bow in prayer. As we're bowed in prayer, and if the Lord has spoken to anyone here today, would you like to come to Christ and go home with him in your heart? I am your servant for the Lord. And just speak to me after the meeting. Say, preacher, I'd like to have a word. May the Lord draw you to Himself today. Our loving Father and eternal God, we thank Thee for the word. We thank Thee, Lord, for the plain, simple path and way of salvation. That a wayfaring man, though a fool, would not err therein. No, Lord, I pray Thou will write this word upon hearts. And grant, dear Lord, that some soul will seek the one who is greater than Solomon. We ask Thee, Lord, that Thou would part us in Thy fear and with Thy blessing. Lord, keep us safe throughout this day. And in Thy will and providence, and with a desire in our hearts, Lord, may we return again to Thy house this evening to learn more about Jesus. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit abide and remain with us now and until the day breaks and the shadows all flee away. Amen.